All right. Hello. Welcome to another episode of the Take the Shot podcast. This is Nick. I'm just going solo today. Some scheduling issues prevented Alec from being here, but we'll just roll with it. Probably just going to talk some basketball and we'll just go from there. So I know it's been a while since we have talked to you guys. It's definitely been some scheduling issues. We will do better in the future to resolve those. I know Alec is going on a work trip sometime soon, so he may not be available for the next pod or two, but I will work around that. I'll probably do, if I have to do another solo one on Thursday before for the OKC Pacers game, I will definitely do that. But let's just get into it. Since I haven't talked to you guys about, or since OKC clinched their spot in the finals, let's go over that. OKC, great team. Shea, unstoppable. Definitely think that that Nuggets series was probably the finals in a sense. And just by the finals, I mean that will probably be the best series that we're going to get. The only team that I actually really thought had a chance of beating OKC was the Thunder, just because Jokic, no one on that Thunder team really can stop him. They did a good job slowing him down, throwing Caruso on Jokic, really. It kind of halted him, I guess, just playing small, and with them just being able to play like that aggressively on defense really worked to their advantage. But that's just how the Thunder play. They play super aggressive on defense. They pretty much foul every time down the floor. But if you foul every time, they're not going to call them all. So just keep going at it. Shea, excellent at just getting contact and drawing those fouls. I know there is a reputation out that Shea's a free throw merchant, even though he's literally averaging less free throws than he was when they were like a 10 seed. I know that people are upset about how Shea draws fouls, but even when Shea is trying to draw the foul, he's still going up and still trying to make the shot. It's unlike Harden of the past, who would just literally just throw the ball up whenever he felt a foul. Like, Shea actually plays through that contact and still like tries to get like an and one. And that's honestly why I think that, well, before I jump to them versus the Pacers, honestly, the Wolves just didn't really have anyone that could stop them. Jaden McDaniels tried his best, not Jalen, that's his brother, but yeah, or is it, wait, no, Jalen McDaniels, he's on the T-Wolves. Jaden, his brother, is not. But Jalen McDaniels definitely tried his best to slow him down. Definitely putting size on him, but Shea's just so crafty. It's just hard for anyone to really... I just haven't really seen a good... anyone who's really able to like lock him down. Maybe like Chris Dunn might have been the best, but Chris Dunn just literally cannot... he was just... well, granted, the Clippers played the Nuggets, but Chris Dunn, he's just so bad at shooting. It's hard to keep him on the floor just because if you're playing him with him on the floor, you're basically playing 4-on-5, which is, just happens to be a problem with, because OKC Thunder's defense is so good, you can't play 4-on-5 on offense. You need someone that can shoot, and there's just not very many guys in the league that really can shut Shea down. I know in the regular season, I feel like some of his worst games were against the Clippers, largely because of Chris Dunn. The only other, I know they tried putting Ant on him a couple times, but I felt like whenever they put Ant on him, Shea would just go right at him, draw a foul, and I felt like if he got like a foul on Ant real quick, they would just immediately just put Jalen back on him, or Nikhil Alexander-Walker or someone else. Just because you don't want to take the chance of your best player being fouled out. Again, with the T-Wolves, I just don't think they're ready. Ant is amazing. He's only 23. So he's honestly not in his prime. I know people are saying that, yes, Ant needs to step up. But again, he's only 23. He's still adding things to his game. He's still getting better. Development it's not necessarily a linear process. Like, people progress at different rates. Also, he's even just for him being 23, he's already way ahead of schedule. It's rare to see a D Wade or anyone like that just go to the finals that young and win it. Even Kobe, when he did it, he still had Shaq. He had someone older. Shea's 26, about to turn 27. Like, Shea's right in that age where superstars really start taking off and actually start winning championships. So even though Chet and J-Dub, they're a lot younger, Shea, he's been in league since 2019. He's in his prime. He's ready to go. But and they'll have a good future. Interesting to see what the T-Wolves do in the future, how they retool around them, whether they're able to keep Naz Reid, Jalen, or Nickeil Alexander Walker, and Julius Randle. It'll definitely be hard to keep all three. I know Julius and Naz are going to want more. Well, actually, all three will want more money. Where that money will come from, I have no idea, just because there aren't that many teams with cap space. I guess I could see a sneaky team for Naz Reid being the Pistons. They don't have a ton of cap space, but they do have enough where I think they could make him an interesting offer, and honestly would love to see him on that team. Just spacing out the floor for them, that's really something that they could use, especially with Jalen Duren just being a low post center. Doesn't really have much range, but play Nas on the floor, he really can stretch the floor out for you and give Cade, Jaden Ivey, Asoar, Ron Holland, give them more driving lanes, since not all of those guys are good shooters, but just keep the floor spaced for Cade. But as again, as I said, but I'll get to the Pistons probably another day. Julius Randle, he'll probably be looking for a raise. Again, don't know where the money is coming from there. Really, the only team that can offer him more than the $30 million that he's getting right now from the T-Wolves is the Nets. And I'm not sure the Nets really want to make that offer for Julius Randle. If they could get him at a discount and then trade him in the future, that would be something that they'd probably be interested in. I could see Nickeil Alexander-Walker being a team that, or being someone that the Nets snatch up just because they can probably get him on a really good contract. And then if they want to keep him, they can. If they want to trade him to a contender to get more assets, they can also do that as well. But yeah, just looking at it, there isn't a ton of cap space out there. The Nets have a ton, and then pretty much every the next team up has like about 20 million, I believe, last time I checked. So it'll be, and honestly, I guess Julius Randle, Nas, they can always opt in and just play it out for another year, test free agency next year. Not too sure how those teams' cap sheets will be looking next year, but again, with that new TV contract money coming in, the cap will start going up and up. The reason why the cap has been a little flat is just because with players getting raises, like usually like 8% raises every year, the cap has not been going up that much every year. But with the new TV contract, they'll go up 10% every year, at least till like 2030 is what they're projecting. So with that, they should be able to. So with that, at least the raises on the contracts won't be outpacing the cap space. Unlike 2016, though, they are doing some cap smoothing, so that's why it's projected to go up only 10% every year, just because that's the max amount. The cap can go up. I guess they don't want like another KD situation where OKC opens up a ton of cap space and can sign a big free agent. Granted, there aren't really any big free agents anymore. Most of them just usually resign, and then if they want to go somewhere else, they as asked to be traded. But yeah, that's kind of how Minnesota's looking. But again, they still have a bright future. I guess Mike Conley, with him being so old, and just him not really being a factor on offense. Did have some good defense possessions in there, but again, there's only so much you can expect from someone his age. Again, he's just like a stabilizing force on that team. Good culture guy. But at this point, that's probably not something that they are needing right now. They're probably needing more production from that position. They do have Rob Dillingham, which definitely would be interesting. Probably want to keep Mike Conley around, at least just for another year. Help coach up Rob Dillingham. Again, just have a good vet for him. But you definitely got to start playing some of those rookies. Rob Dillingham, exciting player. Excited to see what the T-Wolves do. I know I haven't really talked much about the series, but there wasn't really much to talk about the series just because, okay, so he just kind of killed him. In Game 3, the T-Wolves just came out, played like their life depended on it. It was amazing the effort that they came out with, and OKC was just not ready to match that effort. The game just kind of got away from them, and then the T-Wolves end up blowing them out. Game 4, a lot closer in Minnesota. It always felt like the Thunder were in control. Just some big shot making from Nikhil Alexander Walker. I'm just going to call him Na. And Dante DiVincenzo just really kept him in the game. And Dante did make a three late, which almost made it feel like the T-Wolves had a chance to like steal that game. But really, throughout most of that game, it didn't really feel like the T-Wolves had a chance to win it. And then obviously that last game in OKC just blew them out. They just weren't ready for it. But yeah, it'll just be interesting to see what the T-Wolves do. OKC, they are heavy favorites for the finals. I believe they are minus 700. Shea's a heavy favorite to win finals MVP. So for the finals series markets, OKC is minus 700. The Pacers are plus 500. That means to win $100, you'd have to put $700 on OKC. For the Pacers, if you put $100 down on the Pacers to win the finals and they win, that means you win a $500. And looking at the awards for finals MVP, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, a minus 600 favorite. Just the same logic there. Tyrese Haliburton, plus 700. Pascal Siakam, plus 1,600. And Jalen Williams, plus 3,000. So Shai is also a heavy favorite to win the finals MVP. Shai did win the Western Conference finals MVP, I believe is what they call it, or the Magic Johnson Trophy. But just going over the East, Tyrese Haliburton, he thought he won the Eastern Conference Finals Trophy, Finals MVP Trophy, or the Larry Bird Trophy. However, he did not. He was stepping up to that podium. I know people probably have seen the clips, but Pascal won it. I personally do not agree with that decision. Granted, it's only like 9 people that vote on it, and they vote on it like literally at the end of that game. And Pascal had a good game, and I think just probably like some recency bias. Recency bias with that game. Plus, Pascal did have some big games. Probably is the reason why they gave it to him. Although game 4 was at Tyrese's game, the only reason why they even won that, well, the reason why they won that game just going away, which is because he was so amazing. He's really stepped up, playing like a superstar. He really had a bad game in game 5. I'm thinking probably some of the voters probably held that against him. Although Pascal didn't have a good game in game 5 either. No Pacer really did. And I guess Tyrese did also have the shot in game 1. So Tyrese did have some moments too where he showed that he should have been that Eastern Conference Finals MVP. But I just want to pull up some stats from StatMuse because they had what Tyrese was leading in for the series. All right, so Tyrese was second in points, first in rebounds, and he's the point guard of the team. First in assists, first in steals, first in stocks, that's steals and blocks, and first in threes tied. And he did not win the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. Pascal, obviously first in points, but just Tyrese Haliburton, he's the engine of that team. Like, he's what makes that team go. That team goes as far as he is able to take them. Pascal, yes, he's a very good player, but again, he is really just like a second option on that team. He is not the main force on that team. Again, it's Tyrese, and I think I was listening to Bill Simmons earlier, and he was saying that it should just go to the best player unless for some reason they just have like a terrible series and then someone like way outperforms them. But I didn't feel like Pascal, I don't even think he outperformed Tyrese. I think Tyrese had a bad game in game five that could look bad. And again, especially with everyone coming off talking about how he's a superstar. Again, I don't personally think he's a superstar, but I also have a high standard for superstar. Like, superstar, I have to believe you're like a top five player in the game right now. And I don't think Tyrese is that. However, I do think he is the best player on that team, and he is the engine that makes that team run. Without him, they're not able to play at that pace. Tyrese is the engine for that pace, makes them move, and he's what makes the offense so potent, made it so hard for the Knicks to deal with. And yeah, just coming off game six, the Knicks, they just weren't able to deal with that pace. They weren't really able to slow it down. And the Knicks just going down 0-2, that really just set them behind. The fact that they had to win two games on the road, basically just even the series game, 3 and 4, that's tough. They were only able to split. They were only able to win game three, did not win game four. Then go back to New York, they're down 3-1. Similar thing to what happened with Boston with them in the previous series. They play their hearts out on their home floor, overcome any doubts, win that game. But it's just hard to match that energy for three games in a row, which is what they would have had to do in order to come back that series. The Pacers would have had to also probably drop like three duds in order for them to lose the series. But Pacers played well in game six. The Knicks, they did have their chances in game six, but just in the second half, just in the second half, Pacers were able to keep control. They were able to keep control and just take the game away. OG was the one kind of keeping them in the game. OG, not. Yeah, he's definitely not the number one option on that team. He's probably like the number three. You would want to see a little bit more from Cat and Brunson, but it's also hard for someone to carry that load. Especially, I know people wanted to kill Becky Hammon when she said it a couple years back, but it's hard when a championship, when your best player is like six. I don't know what Brunson's listed at. I think he's listed at like 6'2", but 6'2", he's probably closer to 6 foot. It's tough to win. He's a great player, but it's just tough to win when your best player is that height. If they ran more offense through Cat, probably could negate that to some effect. So you're not just relying on Brunson to be the number one option all the time. Like, at times, Cat can be that number one option and really take over. I guess Mikhail has shown that he's had that in the past, at least with that half a season, the first half season for the Nets. This last season with the Nets, I don't know. He didn't really feel like a true number one option. I don't know if the first half season, just with it being the second half of the NBA season and people just also not really ever seen him as a number one option, if that just caught people off guard and he was just able to take over in those games. Again, there was also just things with him and his jump shot earlier in the year. It seems like he'd fixed that, but he's also just does not take layups. He just gets in real close and shoots that little fadeaway. But yeah, the Knicks just need to, I guess they need to have a more of an egalitarian offense. Jalen Brunson, a lot smaller, but he does play a lot like his former teammate Luka. Whereas, like, basically the offense just runs through them. Everything lives and dies through them. Even though the offense with the Thunder, Shai is the leader of the offense, it doesn't live or die through him most times. Like Jalen, he's able to create. Would like to see a little bit more creation from Chet, but again, honestly, he's really in his second year, and honestly, he only played 32 games in the regular season this year, because he completely missed his first year. But they do also run some actions through Hartenstein. Casein Wallace is even able to run some actions. So Shai'll run most of the offense, but not everything is running completely through him. And honestly, Shai is kind of unstoppable. So even if they do run everything through him, it's hard to stop. But even if they do run everything through him, Shai will make the correct pass and just kick it out to his teammates, trust them, and his teammates are doing a great job. Not necessarily with hitting shots, because the three-point shooting hasn't been great, but they've been doing a great job of just making plays off those passes. That's something that the Pacers will need to do in the finals. It just kind of feels like, well, I've heard people say it, but just kind of feels like OKC is the varsity team and the Pacers just the JV team. They both like to run. They both like to play at a fast pace. They love to run up and down, except the Thunder are just way more nasty on defense. And because of that, I just don't really know how the Pacers win this series. I feel like they'll probably have one game where they just completely shoot out of their mind and play better than OKC. So I'm predicting OKC wins at 4-1. I do think OKC can sweep it if they really, really want to. But we'll see how the series goes. I'm assuming the Pacers probably just play out of their mind in game three. First game coming back home. Just doing what the T-Wolves did. Just putting out maximum effort. Just really going all out just to win. And then they steal a game, but I don't see OKC dropping two games in Indianapolis. I could see them taking both. I could see them splitting, but I definitely think they take it in five. And honestly, they haven't really lost at home. They're 8-1 at home, I believe, or something like that. Just because the only team that beat him at home was the Nuggets, and that was off a last-second Aaron Gordon three, and they were in control of that game and probably should have won that game at home, but some questionable foul choices, and they ended up giving up that game, but it was a crazy ending to that game. Shai, he is the favorite for the Finals MVP. I think he'll definitely win it. I suppose the best chance for the Pacers is, Tyrese just being able to really keep up that pace. I think if he can lead the team in rebounding again, just having him really start that break every time, probably can get him, try to get the Pacers some runouts. However, unlike the Knicks, I just don't think the Thunder will just be giving up easy layups off fast breaks or off makes. The Pacers love to run, but so do the Thunder, and the Thunder force a ton of turnovers. The Pacers are good at taking care of the ball. Unstoppable force against the immovable object. We'll see who wins out in that battle, but just with how they've been calling the playoffs and how they've been letting OKC play defense, I just think OKC, they'll still force a lot of turnovers, probably force a little bit more turnovers than The Pacers are used to giving up, and they're always running, and they all, and the Pacers probably won't get as many easy baskets as they're used to, just because the Thunder are one of the few teams in the league that actually play at a similar pace. They may not play quite as fast as the Pacers, but they do run up and down. But I suppose those are my thoughts for the finals. I don't know if there's anything else I really can, I'm not sure if there's anything else I really want to go over before. Well, finals start on Thursday. I will probably record something after that game. Let's see what else we got going on. Or make sure I'm not missing anything. I guess spread for that game. OKC is favored by 9.5. OKC, they have been killer at covering those home spreads. The over-under for that game is 230.5, so they're definitely projecting it to be a higher scoring game. I know the projected points for the Thunder, they're definitely up. Like, Shea's at 33.5. He's normally around like 32.5. J Dub's up to like 22.5. He's normally around like 20.5. So they're really projecting the Thunder to score. Even just looking at the series odds, I guess the most popular pick is for Thunder to win in 5 at plus 250. Thunder to win in 4 is plus 260. This is according to the DraftKings Sportsbook. OKC Thunder, is, the next one, OKC Thunder winning 4-2 is plus 450. Thunder winning in 7 is plus 500. Then the first Pacers one is at plus 1,400, winning 4-2. Pacers win 7, plus 1,500. Pacers win in 5, plus 3,000. And Pacers sweeping is plus 45,000. So they are really projecting a Thunder win. It's definitely one of the largest spreads that we've seen. I think last year they said Dallas Boston was one of the largest ones that we've seen, and even then Dallas was still like, I think Boston was probably like plus 200 and Dallas was like plus 170 or plus 175, something like that, somewhere around there. Don't exactly quote me on those numbers, but even that was considered a large spread for the finals, and this spread is way past that. So everyone's just predicting the Thunder will probably just sweep it, but the Thunder have been favorites all year. The books, I'm sure that's who most of the money's on. Most of the money was probably between them and the Celtics, because those were the two favorites all year. So they're really just counting on OKC to wrap this up quickly. I know, I guess I was hoping for a better finals, but there wasn't really anyone in the East who could match. I guess I thought probably the best matchup would have been the Cavs, but especially even if the Cavs made it out somehow, but Darius Garland, even if he was still injured, Thunder probably would have swept that. They did play some good games in the regular series, so that's why I was super excited to see like an OKC Cav final. However, I guess we're getting the Pacers. Pacers will still be a good finals, because again, they play at a fast pace. Be a lot of points, a lot of defense. You'll still get some defense from OKC. It'll be interesting to see how the Pacers do decide to defend Shea. I just don't think they really have anyone that's a good matchup for him. Nembhard's too small. Tyrese, you don't want to put him on Shea. Neesmith will probably be the number one option to defend Shea, but we'll see how his ankle is feeling. But if Neesmith isn't 100% and Nembhard, he'll just be way too small, just because Shea will just shoot over him. You don't. I don't think you really want to put Pascal on him. And I don't even think Pascal would be a good option. Miles Turner can't guard guards. TJ McConnell, again, I think you run into the too small problem. They just really don't have a good matchup for Shai. Bendik Mathurin is probably a good size, but I don't know if you – definitely don't feel like Carlisle would trust him guarding him. But I do want to share one tweet that I saw just because everyone keeps talking about – how it's going to be a terrible finals and all the ratings and stuff like that. But it's by Michael Martin. Sorry, guys. I can't enjoy this year's NBA finals regardless of the high-quality basketball. I looked at the team's market size, and I don't think billionaires at the TV networks will make as much money this year. It makes me sick to my stomach even consider that happening, which is how I feel like people are talking about it. I don't really understand why market sizes matter. If it's good basketball, it's good basketball. If you enjoy the sport, you enjoy the sport. I get it. The Lakers and the Knicks, they'll bring in more casuals. I think David Stern did say his dream matchup for a finals would be Lakers versus Lakers. Obviously, that can't happen, but I'm sure his second option would have been like Lakers-Knicks or Lakers-Celtics. Just because those would definitely bring in the most eyes, but this is definitely a different NBA, a post-Stern NBA. All the jokes are funny still. People treat Adam Silver like he's David Stern, like it's David Stern's NBA. He doesn't want these small market teams. However, I do think Adam is more accepting of that, and plus things have changed so much where people are aware of these teams throughout the year. I know the casual fans may not be as aware, but it may have a lower finals rating, but honestly, that's still not going to stop me from watching any of these games or make me enjoy them any less. I just don't think this will be the best series. Because I don't believe the Pacers are the best matchup. I think we saw the finals in the Western Conference second round when OKC played the Nuggets. I believe that's the best team that can match up with OKC just because the Nuggets have so much size. And they got Jokic, and they got the best player in the world. But OKC has the second best player in the world, and he played like the best player in the world during that series, and he won them that series. So really interested to see what the Nuggets do. Definitely think they should keep Michael Porter Jr. I know people have been talking about trading him for more pieces, but the Nuggets just need more depth to get them through the regular season. They do still have young players like Peyton Watson and Christian Brown who are still developing. Julian Strother. They got some other young players. So let's just see how they develop. Let's see if the Nuggets are able to improve internally. Just because I think that may be the best team to challenge the OKC Thunder. Might be still be a little bit too early for the Spurs, and we'll see what the Rockets are able to do in the offseason. I definitely feels like they are ready to make a big move. We'll see what big move they are able to make, if they are able to make one. But that's all I got. I will be watching the finals, enjoying the finals, and I will talk to you guys next week. We'll see if Alec is on, but if not, I'll see you then. If he is, we'll both see you then. All right. Peace.